I saw someone's letter to Santa the other day. It said, "Dear Santa, please send me a skinny body and a fat bank account, and don't reverse them like you did this year." It's that time of year, time for a new you. You go to the stores and they've put away all the holiday decor, the holiday that's not Christmas decor, it just happens to go away right after Christmas. They put away the holiday decor and instead replace it with three things. One category is newfangled exercise equipment and programs, copyrighted at Guantanamo Bay. The second category is a new variety of vegetables, fruits, seeds, and smoothies, all culminating from an old German dare back when you tried to eat a small tree until it became called broccoli. And the third category is brightly colored filing folders and post-it notes trying to convince you with those bright, shiny colors that filing away papers and working on your taxes is nothing but fun. It's a weird time of the year. It's a new year that seems to demand a new you. A you that's pretty much the same as you were, excepting two things. One, you'll become content with who you are. And two, you'll get yourself organized. And yet the witness of the church is that contentment and organization are a little bit different. If you're to find contentment in these four walls, chances are they should be content in Christ. Content in Christ. No matter what your body looks like, you'll never be content with it. No matter what your bank account looks like, you'll never be content with it. There's not much contentment to be found in our world. But contentment with Christ has a trickle-down effect on the rest of your life. If you can look into the eyes of Jesus and there find forgiveness, acceptance, and the promise of a new life in eternity, that this life is just a smidgen in time, an eternity of glory and peace. If you find contentment in Christ, everything else, contentment is much easier to be found. In Philippians, Paul is writing to the church, and he gets a great line on contentment. He says in Philippians 4:11 and following, "I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." That last line you might have heard a few times. I know I've seen it. I've seen it in locker rooms, painted on the wall. I've seen it on t-shirts or bracelets or something. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's a good sort of line to have up in the locker room before you're going to go out and take a pop at the other team or something. But that's not this line's origin. Its origin is in the prison. Its origin is an aging missionary whose feet are sore from crossing the known world, telling anybody who will listen about Jesus, whose body when he went out was smooth and soft and now is scarred and battered from being punished for telling people about Jesus, who used to have a great reputation and freedom to go wherever he wanted, and now finds himself in prison for his faith, yet still writing about Jesus. The words are fine in the locker room, but that's not where they come from. They come as the only words you can hang on to in the darkness of prison, in the fear of the hospice ward, in the anxiety of any place you find yourself, when you realize that your own work and your own efforts aren't getting you anywhere. And yet, you find what Christ has done for you. And you're able to say, I have learned in whatever situation I'm in to be content. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you are faithful, God assures you of one of two things. God will either provide whatever you need, or he will teach you that you don't really need it. Throughout Paul's life, it seems uncanny that there's times people or resources or possessions just seem to fall his way to enable his ministry. And sometimes God is just giving whatever he needs. And yet there's other times where things get taken away and taken away. And he finds that what he thought he used to need, he didn't. And he had the Lord, and the Lord was enough. Because contentment is not based on our circumstances. Contentment is not based on our situation. Contentment is based on our Savior. It's content with Christ. And the other thing I want to talk about a moment is organized around faith, not fads. In Chronicles, in Chronicles, five times David is mentioned organizing people. Five times it says David organized some of his people or his troops. And David did not organize people or troops for those days when everyone's getting along and there's not a cloud in the sky, there's not a fight in the kingdom, there's not a drop of rain anywhere. David organized his troops and his people five times for the days when rumors of war would spread, when bloodthirsty words would be spoken, for the days when swords would be pulled out of the hilt and spears lifted high and thrown through the air. David spent his time organizing his kingdom so that when war came, he would be ready. You know in your own home that it doesn't matter if your house is organized until you need something and you can't find it. It doesn't matter if your papers are organized until you need a date and you find yourself spending 8 hours trying to find it. It doesn't matter if your toolbox is organized until the kitchen sink is leaking and you have no idea where that wrench is. In the life of faith, on often sunny days, when all is well, you might be able to get by with a life not organized around faith. But when the storms come, when the relationship falls apart, when the boss lets you go, when the funeral home calls, those are the days at which your life needs to be organized around faith. And by that, I mean a few things. One is to organize your calendar around faith. I grew up in a home where we never once asked, are we going to church? If there was a service, we were going to be there. That was part of being part of the church. Even those goofy midweek ones during Lent or the Thanksgiving ones or those ones that should barely count as a church service. If the lights were on in the sanctuary, we were going to be there. And I encourage you to follow that same practice. We're updating some records, and it turns out we have over 700 members of this church. That's a lot of members. But how many are here every Sunday? Right? Organize your life around, organize your calendar around faith. And part of that is just how much are you willing to take on? People say they're too busy to pray, too busy to spend 5 minutes reading the Word of God. Need to have space in the calendar too. Maybe organize your home around faith. I heard of a guy who wanted to start running every morning. So what he did was every night before bed, he put on shorts and a running shirt. And he took his running shoes and he set them right by the side of the bed. So as soon as he rolled out of bed to go to the bathroom, he'd have his running shoes right on and be ready to head out the door. What would that story look like if it was you wanting to live a life of faith? Chances are high, the remote control is a heck of a lot closer than your Bible. What is your home organized around? And then also organizing your influences. You will be the exact same 1 year from now as you are today, except for two things: the people you spend time with and the books you read and shows you watch. Who are the people you're going to spend time with? What books are you going to read? What shows are you going to watch? What are they going to bring out in you? It doesn't matter much how your life is organized until things get a little bit rough. And when Jesus sends out his disciples, he says, "I send you out like sheep among wolves. I send you out like sheep among wolves." Thinking of adding that to our baptism service. I send you out like sheep among wolves. I don't send you out like sheep going to the sheep spa, where you can go and get your hair all nice and fluffy and clean, and someone can polish your hooves and massage your shoulder from bending over and eating the grass. I send you out into a world where you're going to be attacked, where it might be hard to survive, where there are going to be enemies coming at you. The sheep can't make it on its own. You don't read of wild sheep. You don't have random wild sheep going through your yard, making a mess of it from time to time. Sheep need a shepherd. Ours is the Lord. The other day, I was reading an article on ancient Mediterranean shepherds, like I'm sure you were. And there was an old practice with shepherds in Jesus' day. Every time a shepherd was buried, before they would be buried, they took a big tuft of sheep wool and stuck it in their hands, so that even as they died and were buried, they were holding on to their flock. I suppose I'd get in trouble for it. but it wouldn't be bad to stick some sheep wool in Jesus' hands on the cross. And on the wool, find your name. Content in Christ and organized around faith.